Well, pray with me as we look to the word of the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we don't take it lightly, but we receive it as it is, the word of the living God. And I pray, Father, that today that the word of the Lord would speak into each heart and life, that it would impart strength and faith. Lord, that it would lift us up out of the mire. Lord, that it would give us what we need to be able to overcome the obstacles and the problems that we face in this life. I thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about your worst day. Sounds like fun, huh? Well, when you get fired from your job, when the doctor says that your wife has cancer, when you have had a bad wreck, when your child has had a bad wreck. I tell you, there's a lot of different kinds of bad days that happen, right? When you lose your temper and blow your witness, when your health just keeps going downhill from bad to worse, when you got more going out than what's coming in, that's a bad day. Listen, all kinds of bad days, when your child is not serving God and you see them heading for destruction, when your spouse walks out on you, that's a bad day. Sometimes people give the impression that if you are a Christian and you serve God, you're not going to have any bad days. That's not true. I'm telling you, you're going to have some battles, some storms are going to come your way. They come to us all. You have an adversary, an enemy of your soul, and there are going to be some bad days. There's going to be some trouble. Jesus says, you're going to have trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know what, church? So can we. You're going to have some bad days, but you can overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ. All kinds of bad days. Some are worse than others, and maybe you feel like you've had more than your share. I want to tell you, David is one of the greatest men of the whole Bible. He was a great leader for God's people. He was a great man of God. He was a great warrior, and he was a great worshiper. A man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord and he worshiped Him. And so many of the songs that he wrote, we use in our songs today. They're integrated into many of our popular worship songs still. David was a great worshiper, great man of God. But I want to tell you, he had a lot of bad days. More than his share, it seems like. I mean, if you read the story throughout the Bible of David's life, you just wonder, how could so many bad days happen to one guy? Now, he had a lot of great days of victory, and out of those bad days came great days of victory. But oh, how many struggles and problems he went through. You know, if you're going to pick David's worst day, there's a lot of candidates. I mean, you could talk about the day that his son Absalom died. He wanted to take away David's throne, and in the process, he ended up being killed. What a horrible day for David. You could talk about the day that one of his daughters was raped by her half-brother. What a horrible day for David. Bad days that came his way. David was hunted like a dog, like a wild animal. He was treated like a criminal. He was betrayed over and over again. He was repaid evil for the good that he had showed others. I'm telling you, he had a lot of bad days. One of the very worst is found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you wanted to go ahead and turn there, we're just going to stay there. I may share a few other scriptures along the way, but we're going to stay here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I just want to say to you, if David had some bad days, so do we. I think sometimes, as I said, even preachers give the impression that if you just be a good little Christian, nothing bad will ever happen to you. And the end result of that is that people get disillusioned and even go back on their faith because they don't understand why they went through that horrible day. I'm telling you, you're in a battle in this world. You have an enemy, And you're going to face some dark days, but Jesus will get you through it. He'll bring you through to the other side. David, again, he was a great leader. He's a great example to us what to do when you're going through the worst day. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "It happened that when David and his men came to Ziklag," now that's where they were living at the time, "on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great, they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." Now that's a bad day. There were days, as I said, when David lost a child. Terrible days of tragedy and seeming defeat that had happened in his life. But in this instance, when David comes to his home with these fighting men, everything is burned, all of their wealth has been taken, and their families, their wives, and their children have all been taken away. And so here are these 600 fighting men with David. These were great men of war. Men who could go, this army of 600 could go up against armies of tens of thousands. They were great men of war. And yet here it tells us that they lifted up their voices and they wept aloud. They wept until they couldn't get another cry out. They wept until they were too weak to cry anymore. That's a bad day. You may cry into your pillow and you may sob and wonder and think that you're going through something nobody else has ever been before. I'm telling you, these men, they were there. They were at that worst day. Everything was gone. But it got worse for David. You say, could it get any worse? Well, sometimes it does. It did for David. Let's read on verses 5 and 6. "And David's two wives were also taken captive, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Listen, the people were hurt. They were so grieved and angry. You know, when that happens to you, you want to blame somebody. You want to lash out at somebody, and whether they deserve it or not, a lot of times it's just those around you that end up getting it, getting the blame. But especially when there's a leader around, and David was their leader. And so they focused their anger and their hurt at David, and they began to talk about stoning him. So now here's David, who's not only lost everything, including his wives and his children, but now these men who he has fought with, day after day, have all turned against him and want to stone him. But something happened. In the end of verse 6, it tells us, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord." That's the turning point in this worst day. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He was distressed. He had lost his family. He had lost everything. And now the men are against him. But he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What an example he is to us. When you're having a bad day, the first thing you need to do is strengthen yourself in the Lord. He didn't allow himself to have a pity party. Now, just like everybody else, David was grieved and heartbroken, and he wept aloud. He was one of those that was weeping. But there came a point when he strengthened himself in the Lord. I believe if he would have given in and just had a pity party, they probably would have gone ahead and stoned him. but he strengthened himself in the Lord. He rose up as a leader. Listen, leaders have to rise above the fray. You can't just be one of the crowd. Sometimes you got to stand up and be that man, that woman of God, and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Don't have that pity party. You can't afford to just feel sorry for yourself. Listen, I want you to understand, when you're having a bad day, when you're having the worst day of your life, it is natural and it's okay for you to grieve and pour your heart out in tears to the Lord. But then you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to put your hope in God, fix your eyes on Jesus, and make up your mind that you're not going to just accept defeat. You're not just going to have a pity party, but you're going to rise up, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Feeling sorry for yourself is self-defeating. You need to remind yourself that God is still God. He still loves you. He still cares for you. He's still Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's still your healer. He is still the one who can break down the walls. He's the one that can make a way where there is no way. And in your very worst day, when it seems like your world is falling apart, I'm telling you, He's still God. Psalms 46, verse 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. See, even when the world's falling apart around you, you don't have to be fearful. God is our strength. He is a present help in a time of trouble. He's still with you. Even in the darkest day, He's still there. He's still with you. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? Well, the first and obvious thing is that you turn to the Lord. You turn to the Lord in prayer. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we're going to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, we have to look to Him for that strength. We got to realize that our strength comes from the Lord. And so we pray and we ask God for strength. If you're going to strengthen yourself in the Lord, one of the ways that I do that is I go to the Scripture. The Word of God is full of principles and truths that will build your faith, that will give you something in the inside in your spirit. They'll strengthen your spirit to help you to rise above. When you strengthen yourself in the Lord, look to the Scripture. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 49 and 50. He says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. In verse 92, he said, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You see, in the Word of God, you'll find that which sustains you, which carries you through and gets you through that difficult time. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what the King James Version says. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? How do you encourage yourself? Remember past victories. Listen, if God has worked in your life and moved in your life before, if He's done it for somebody else, listen, He can do it for you now. You might say, but this is way worse than anything I've ever been through. But nothing is impossible with God. It's not any harder for God. He is mighty. He is able to save. He can do it. And you need to get your eyes on Him and realize He's still God. Remember the victories, the past victories that He's already won for you. Trials and battles and storms that you've already come through. I tell you, God will bring you through this time as well. He says in Isaiah 43 that when we pass through the water, it's not going to overflow us. When we go through the fire, it's not going to burn us. You're going to make it through. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, if you were going to encourage somebody else, you know it's easier to encourage somebody when you're not the one going through it. If somebody else is going through a great battle, you can encourage them by sharing scripture and spiritual truth with them and praying for them. You can encourage them. But how would you encourage yourself? You need to tell yourself the same kinds of things that you would tell somebody else in your situation. And let me tell you something. I thank the Lord for the body of believers. And many of you have been such an encouragement to Carmen and I. And as a pastor, there are several of you that are just great encouragers, and not only to me, but to others in the body of Christ. You encourage people all the time. But all of us have also been through those times when we felt all alone. Maybe nobody else knew. Maybe nobody else understood. I want to tell you, David was there. He was all alone. Everybody had turned against him. Nobody else was encouraging him. But he encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. So I tell you this as a pastor, and I tell you this in love. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't have that pity party. But rise up and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's the first step that you need to take when you're having that worst day. Second, he sought direction. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David calls for the priest and the ephod because at that time that was the right way for him to ask for that direction and determine that. I want you to understand, you don't need to call for the priest. You don't need an ephod. I'm not even going to go into what that was. But you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you as a born-again believer. We have the Spirit inside of us who will guide us into all truth. He is our comforter and our counselor, and He is there to give us direction, to show us the way. And so when you need direction from the Lord, when you want to inquire from the Lord, the first thing you do again is you pray. You ask God for direction. If you lack wisdom, the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, if we'll ask God and believe, He'll give it to us liberally. So you pray and you ask God and you believe, you receive wisdom, direction, that God will show you, that He'll order your steps and give you the right course of action to take. You know, when this happened, David sought direction about what to do. He didn't ask why. And that seems to be what most people in our generation focus on. When trouble comes, when heartache comes, when tragedy comes, they say, why? 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 David was focused on what needed to be done. Now, I think David knew why he had an enemy. And he knew the enemy had done this. And it's amazing to me how often believers seem to forget that they have an enemy. Let me tell you why you were attacked. You have an enemy. David didn't start questioning God's character. In this generation, one of the tricks of Satan is to try to put the blame on God for the evil in this world. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's Jesus who came to give us abundant life. But people focus on why, and they question God as though He has been unfair and unjust. And in the process, they end up staying in their worst day. Many times questioning why, instead of looking for the answer of what God wants you to do, will keep you where you are. David prayed about, what do I do? And in your worst day, strengthen yourself in the Lord, encourage yourself in the Lord, and ask God what course of action you should take. Now, I just want to give you this as a side note, that there are times when that course of action may be to be still and know that He's God. It can be an act of faith sometimes to just sit back and just trust God. But most of the time, God will give us a direction, a course of action. And that's the third thing that David did, is that he took action. But he prayed. He asked God what to do. By the way, I want to give you this verse of Scripture from Romans 11:33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out." There are some things, you need to know this, there are some things you're not going to have it all figured out in this life. God's ways are higher than our ways. But let me tell you what else the Bible says. He's perfect in all His ways. So you can trust Him. He loves you and He is for you. He's watching out for you. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to trust Him and get direction about what God would have you do in that situation. And how do you get that direction? You pray. And again, you look to the Word of God. So often the Word of God gives us direction. It declares itself that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It'll show you what you need to do. And as you pray, the Holy Spirit many times will quicken a verse of Scripture to you, cause it to come alive to you, give you that direction that you need. I know when Carmen was diagnosed with cancer, before the biopsy was even done, the Lord gave her this Scripture from Psalms 118 and verse 17, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." God gave her that to strengthen and build her faith. And then when that diagnosis came, we prayed and sought the Lord in Scripture for weeks to determine the course of action that He would have us to pursue. And I want to tell you, it's so important that you seek God for direction when you're having your worst day. By the way, that worst day doesn't always last just 24 hours, does it? And you don't always have weeks to seek and determine that direction. But the important thing is that you turn to the Lord and you seek Him in prayer and in His Word. You know, it's pretty simple for David. He just said, "Should we go after them or not?" Sometimes our answers aren't quite that cut and dried, are they? But God is able to give us direction if we'll trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." You know, sometimes the Lord's direction that He'll give you may not make sense to your mind. And I can tell you right now, it's not going to make sense always to other people. But as you trust the Lord and you do what He directs you to do, it'll always turn out good when you do what God tells you to do. Amen. But David took action. Once he got direction from the Lord, he took action. Verses 9 and 10 of 1 Samuel 30 says, "So David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued." You got to pursue. You got to go after the direction God gives you. "He and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary they could not cross the brook." So David went. He took action. 600 men. He rallied the troops together, and he pursued after them. You know, a lot of times when tragedy comes, you're going through a terrible day, the natural thing is to be paralyzed with shock and fear. But when God gives you direction, it's time to move. It's time to take action. You might just feel devastated because you lost that job that you worked at for 20 years. And you're just shocked because you thought, because you have been faithful and loyal to the company, that surely this couldn't happen to you. And so you just don't feel like doing anything, and that depression can come over you. But I want to encourage you today, what you need to do is to pray and get direction from the Lord. and then pursue after it. Make up your mind that you're not going to have that pity party. You're not just going to feel sorry for yourself and let the devil get a victory over you. But you're going to rise up and encourage yourself in the Lord. Get direction and then pursue after it. See, if you lost your job or your child is sick or you're having trouble in your marriage, pray and get direction from the Lord and then take action. Verse 10, it says, he pursued. Go after it. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate. And they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. And so when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had not eaten for bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Now this man had been left to die. He got sick, and so he was left to die, been without food and water for 3 days. And David's men find him and bring him to David, and they feed him and give him water and restore him, refresh him. When you're having the worst day of your life, the last thing on your mind is to help somebody else. In fact, the normal thing is when you're having a bad day is to lash out at everybody. And even innocent people have done nothing to you. The normal thing is to be ugly to everybody, much less to help somebody. You know, we tend to not see the needs of others, especially when we're going through a rough time. We're thinking about ourselves. We're focused on ourselves. And they could have easily either killed this man or just bypassed him and ignored him. But they refreshed him and restored him, this man that had been left to die. And what I'm saying to you is even on your worst day, you need to have compassion on other people. And as hard as it might be for you to believe, there might be somebody that's worse off than you. And I can tell you this, though, that if you'll take care of somebody else, God will take care of you. The comfort that we ourselves have received from God, we can share with others. I encourage you, even on your worst day, don't just be focused on yourself, but look around you. You know, in all that the Lord Jesus went through and all that He accomplished and did in this world, He was never too busy to turn aside to minister to somebody that was in need and somebody that was hurting. And on your worst day, I encourage you, David did. He had compassion on this man. And you know, it was through this act of compassion that the Lord showed them where the enemy was. For this man was an Egyptian slave, or an Egyptian who had become a slave to the Amalekites. And when he got sick, they left him behind. And so David said, "Can you show us where they are?" And he took them to where the enemy was camped. It was through that act of kindness that David was able to find the enemy. Now, God could have done it another way. But isn't it amazing how that God chose to work through that act of compassion and used that man to lead David and his fighting men to their enemy? The fifth thing that David did is that he was relentless in carrying out what God told him to do. We'll read it in verses 16 through 20. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Now, it never tells us how many were in this Amalekite army, but it tells us only 400 escaped. And how many did David go there with? 400. I'm telling you, God was on their side. So David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, "This is David's spoil." They came back not only with all of their stuff and with all of their families, but they came back with the wealth of their enemy. God had turned around David's worst day turned it around for a great victory. Oh, what joy they must have had. When you hurt like that and you grieve like that, and then to have God turn it around, what joy. But I tell you, here's part of the key. David was relentless in carrying out what God told him to do. He didn't halfway do it. And you know what? I see that a lot today in the church. When God gives you direction, when He tells you to do something, whether it's through His Word or He speaks to you by the Spirit, don't halfway do anything. Follow through. Be determined to carry it out totally and completely. That's how you get total victory. Don't halfway do something for God. He was relentless in obeying what God had spoken to him to do, and because of it, he had a total victory. Everything turned around for David, and it was a great victory. There's still more. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. Now David came to the 200 men which had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they had also made to stay by the brook. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Now listen to this next phrase. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered him and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. So the sixth thing is that when victory comes, you share with those who are weaker. Those wicked men, they rose up in arrogance and pride and judgment of those who were weaker. You know what? I see that same attitude sometimes today in the body of Christ. Those who have had a great victory, those that God has blessed, sometimes there's a temptation to become arrogant and think that we ourselves are something. And instead of judging others as being weak, we just need to share with one another what God has blessed us with. God doesn't bless us just for our benefit, but He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. But when God turns around your situation and your battle and He brings a great victory in your life, you need to remember what David said. It's the Lord that has given this to us. It's God who has given us victory over our enemy. It's God that's provided this spoil, the blessing of the wealth. And church, we need to have that same mentality that when we have victory, we're supposed to share it with others. We're supposed to be a blessing to everybody around us. Share the blessings of the Lord. Verse 26, now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Now there's two important things in this verse of Scripture that I want you to see, and we're going to close. First, he realized that it was not God that did this, but it was the enemies of the Lord. Now, I know that David realized that from the very beginning, but here it's made very clear by what he said, the word that he sent out. This is spoil from the enemies of the Lord. So who did this? The enemies of the Lord. And you need to remember, on your worst day, who did this? The enemies of the Lord. You need to remember that there's a spiritual power at work against you. Don't blame God. That is a deception and a lie of the devil. Realize that you are in a spiritual warfare. God didn't make you sick. God didn't bring this tragedy upon you. Don't let the devil get you to thinking that God is against you. He loves you and He's for you. He'll fight for you. Realize when you're attacked, it's the enemy of the Lord. And last, He sent out presents saying, "This is spoil taken from the enemies of the Lord." David wanted everybody to know what God had done. He wanted to glorify God. I tell you, all too often, church, when God gets us through that worst day, when He brings us out in victory on the other side, all too often we don't say anything. All too often we just act like, "Oh, well, everything just worked out. No big deal." I'm telling you, we need to give glory to God. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not just being lucky. It's God who came through for us. How merciful, how good the Lord is to us. I can't even tell you all the times in my own life, I feel like David sometimes, the dark days that I've faced, and I don't even know how, but somehow God has gotten me through every time without fail. I tell you, we need to give glory to God. Let everybody know. Send the word out. Send presents with it if you have to. But He wanted everybody to know what God had done. Glorify God in your worst day. When God turns it around, I tell you, I think one of the reasons that we don't see more miracles is because we don't give God the glory. He deserves the glory. Don't let people tell you, "Oh, well, you're just lucky. It was a coincidence. Oh, well, you know, everybody else is struggling to find a job, but you got a job because you're so smart." Don't be stupid. That's not smart. That's just plain stupid. When God blesses you, you give Him the glory and you share it with others. Amen. Don't look down on other people and say, "Oh, well, if they were smart as me, or if they were hardworking as me." See, I tell you, we as Americans, we get a lot of those attitudes. But I tell you, we need to be gracious and be loving and realize that God has blessed us and be a blessing to somebody else. When that dark day happens in your life, you know, we were laughing about it after the first service because, boy, isn't this a great word? I'm telling you, you're going to have some bad days. I'm telling you the truth. You've had some, and you might have another one. But when you do, strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Inquire of the Lord, not why does everything happen to me? But God, what do I do? What do I do now? And then take action. Be willing to pursue it, to go after it. And along the way, realize there might be somebody worse off than you. There might be somebody that you can help, that you can minister to. And you don't know, but that God might use that person to turn your situation around. And then when God gives you the victory, you share the blessing of the Lord with others. You don't just keep it all to yourself, but you share God's blessing with everybody else. Don't think it's just you, but realize it's God's blessing given to you. Know from the very beginning that it is the Lord's enemies that have done this, not God. It's the Lord's enemies. And give God all the glory for the victory, for the blessing. Get the word out that God is mighty and that He has done this for you. I want you to stand with me as we pray. Our prayer partners are going to come. Father, I thank You that You are our strength, that You are our source, that You are our God. In the day of trouble, that You're still God. You're still with us. And Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters that are going through a dark day right now. Father, I pray that You would strengthen them. I pray this morning that the word of the Lord would bring faith to their heart. And I pray, Father, that all of us, Lord, will shine like lights in a darkened world. Lord, as we stand strong, Lord, as we be a people of faith, walk by faith, not by sight, and we trust You. Father, I just pray You be glorified in us. over and over and over. May we live to your glory and your honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning, our prayer partners are always here to pray with you about any burden or need that you come to the service with. But I encourage you this morning, if you are facing one of those difficult times in life, maybe you're right in the thick of it right now, I want you to know God can make a way. You may be saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how. You might be right where I was talking about, feeling sorry for yourself. Listen, it's time for you to seek God. Ask God for direction of what to do. It's time for you to rise up and say, you know what? I'm not going to just stay here. I'm going to get on with life. I'm going to get victory in my life. And I just encourage you. There's something special about the prayer of agreement. Jesus said, if any two or three agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. So when you come for prayer and you get a believer to agree with you according to the Word of God, there's power. He says, it'll be done for you of our Father in heaven. Amen. And we're going to pray that prayer of agreement with you regarding that situation. So I just encourage you to come for prayer. Amen. Amen.